Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple and everything that's gone on, which is not very much, apart from iOS 9 came out, and apart from iPad 4's got delivered, but I don't think any of us have got one, and apart from Watch 2's been delayed. Interesting stuff there. Got to fill an hour on that, Christ. joining me to discuss the week in Apple news, the celebrated panel, which are absolutely fantastic, of Patrice, Adam, Doc and Chuck. Patrice, how the devil are you, mate? Long time no see.
It feels like we just talked yesterday. I don't know why. Just a feeling.
12 hours ago. 15 hours ago. What you been up to, dude? New office working out all right?
New office, new apartment working out, and also the new job, so.
Excellent, mate.
Looking great.
Good stuff. Next to him in feisty mood and ready to rip, but we are not letting the cat out of that bag just yet. It's going to tussle for a little longer. Adam Christensen.
Hey.
How you doing, Cat?
Morning. I'm doing good. Doing good. I have some gripes. But we'll save them.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair enough. We'll move on swiftly from that then. We've got Chuck joining us after a summer of absence. How you doing, mate?
It's been a long, long time, hasn't it? I think the last time we were here, we were discussing OS X's transition from PowerPC to Intel chip. So maybe we can pick up on that.
an expert on PowerPC, of course, Dot Rock.
I can't stop laughing at Chuck. I have grapes. I don't know. I was ready. I had something to say that Chuck Love made me lose it. Anyway, aloha, guys.
Yeah, hello, mate. How you doing? So, now then, I figure that this is something that we can't leave to boil for too long. Adam has downloaded and installed iOS 9, as have I, but only 20 minutes ago. Adam, you love it, apparently.
I thought it was all fine until I got in the car this morning and, you know, I do what I always do. I've been listening to a podcast and I, you know, ask that my nice personal assistant to resume that podcast, right? With the, with the typical voice command that you would use. And actually that should be better now. But so here's the problem. So I asked Siri to, you know, resume my podcast and nothing happens. And I ask again, nothing happened. I'm like, what the devil is going on here?
Well, is this just proactive Siri, though? Because Siri is actually knows in your heart of hearts, you don't really want to listen to that podcast.
And I do, and I'm already driving at this point, so I don't want to touch the phone, right? I'm trying to do the right thing and be safe here. I end up having to pull over because I realize, well, crud, maybe it got turned off, that feature. And of course it did. So if you use that feature, know that you need to reset it up because they've added a new thing, right? And the new thing is that you have to train Siri for your voice, which I think is great because that means less of the problem that we podcasters have when we say those magic words and then everybody who's listening's Siri, you know, starts going off in their car. So I thought, okay, this is great. Good, I'll train it. The thing does not work now. So I've trained it. And Siri will not activate 70% of the time.
Welcome to UK, mate.
So we get to enjoy that now. So that was the first thing, right?
Oh, Jesus, there's more.
Yeah. Well, and then I get the podcast going and, you know, I'm listening to the podcast and I want to jump ahead and they've completely redone the podcast app. So it's more like the music app, which, okay, that's fine. You know, the UI wise. But in the podcast app now, you don't have the grids when you're looking at your shows. So I can't see, there's like a one view that's like all of your unplayed podcasts and they're just in a giant list. And I usually go by show. I don't go, you know, through unplayed. So I go over to look at the shows and there's no markers to indicate which ones have unplayed episodes. It's just the list of shows. So you've got to drill in. They've just overly complicated that interface. But then the last thing that got me this morning, and I'm sure I'm going to find more at this point because now I'm finding the bugs, is that I'm in the Now Playing, which is just like in the music app now, you know, you get the little mini player at the bottom and then you tap it and it slides up and gives you the Now Playing screen. I'm looking at the UI and there's no skip forward, skip back button. The you know, back 10 and forward 10.
These sound like things that, I mean, it always pissed me off that when you've played an episode in podcasts, it doesn't play the next episode, it plays the previous episode. And that's just like, that. How come a developer didn't pick that up and go, no, Apple, that's completely illogical?
Let me get this, this gets better. So I'm looking at the UI and I've just got the pause button in the middle and I don't have the two buttons on the left and right. There's just big blank areas. And I think, you know what? I wonder if they forgot to put the frickin' icons on. Sure enough, I tap the area and it does skip ahead and skip back, but there's no frickin' icons.
Maybe it's just an area that you hit and that's a design thing. fair enough.
Yeah, it's a feature. That's what I thought too.
It's a feature.
But it's right. Like, how does this get missed? Like, so you know who I blame? I blame the public beta testers. No, I'm just kidding. But I think Apple's doing the public beta test. How does this? I think they've got more people beta testing than ever before, and more people not giving any feedback because the only people who are beta testing are just people who want early access to the operating system. It's got to be that, right?
Beta test doesn't mean anything. Beta test means early access now, I think.
All right.
Well, and I think a lot of developers are doing the same. A lot of people have joined the developer program doing the same thing.
Right.
And so, that's the only. It's either that or Apple is just not paying attention at all. And I kind of don't want to believe the latter, but I'm afraid that the latter may be the issue. That Johnny, Apple is so busy and has their hands in so many pies now at this point that they can't pay attention to the small details. And I know these things are small. I mean, these aren't huge deal breakers, to be honest. They're really annoying, though. They're minor little things. And they keep missing the minutiae, and they never missed the minutiae before. It was always about the details. And now it seems like they hit the big sweeping points and then miss the stuff that makes usability and the day-to-day usage of this stuff, magical. And so now it's just frustrating.
Can we just go through your things there? One, the podcast app, are you saying you can't view my podcasts? Because if you click on my podcast, you can view my podcasts.
Oh yeah, I can. And there's just no indicators as to what's new and what's not new and what's played and what's not played.
There is.
Not for me.
So when you look at my podcasts, and you'll see, I can't even show you because I haven't got it set up. But
and maybe the problem is the half played icons or whatever, because I'm halfway through some shows.
The big show.
So maybe it's just because I don't have new shows. It used to be a lot. It used to make a lot more sense to me, and I don't like this new unplayed view, and I don't like the new layout, and it's just
right. Just calm yourself down, Chris.
So you just want Apple to get off your lawn, is what you're saying?
Exactly. I'm being grumpy. my main thing is that I need that Siri feature to work in the car, and so that set me off first thing, and then it just snowballed from there this morning. So.
Siri, play the VIP show.
I think there are two parts, as you said, and I think both is a little bit true. One is, at least for the podcast part, I'm guessing that a lot of developers...
So, Christensen, you're talking bollocks.
I know, because I got buttons, too. And I start with, who uses the podcast?
So go in the now playing screen. Yeah, so you have actually the 10-second skip forward and skip back buttons?
They're there for you? And they're actually 15 seconds.
Mine are 15.
All right, I'll show you. You can look.
Here you go, look.
Does your phone say Samsung on it, Adam?
I can't read.
I know it's hard to see, but mine are in there.
Yeah, mine are in there.
Actually, you can see it anymore.
So Apple, there you go. You see, now you know you've lost when you lose Christensen, but you haven't lost him. He's just he's gone now. He's hung up. He's so pissed off. He's hung up. That's it. He's off.
Yeah.
He's had a rant. He's fallen off his orange crate in the cupboard and
the broom cupboard.
Yeah.
And again, I'm gonna start with the base problem. How about we use Marco's app instead of that stupid podcast app?
So. Yeah. Well, actually, no, I think, because I thought the stupid podcast app was passable, actually, after the last update. And
it's passable.
I've got to say, I like it now. It looks really clean. I think it's...
You're right. It is passable. But then the other thing I discovered, I knew this from day one. If you click on the little gear in settings, the very first setting says play newest to oldest, oldest to newest. So there is this thing called RTFM, which might help, or press the damn buttons. I'm telling you, it's in there. I'm just assuming that when it got updated, it must have, like, half-installed that app. So you might delete the app and reinstall it.
So, Adam, are you back with us or not?
I can't tell.
Yeah, you are back with us.
I don't know what the frack happened.
We got no video.
I started complaining, and Apple freaking cut me off. That's what happened.
That was it.
Ruat in the chat room is saying, I have skip buttons, plus or minus 15 seconds. Who listens to podcasts?
Well, mine are definitely not there. I'll restart the app. But
who listens to podcasts anyway, says Rob.
This is the thing, though. I mean, it's... And I've seen other... Victor Cahiao is having all kinds of problems with his. I mean, there's bugs. I'm sorry. There's bugs. Yeah,
sure. Well, I think it's probably an install issue, though. We got Muller here with us. He's in. Have you put 9 on?
Yes.
Have you got your plus or minuses and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, so there are enough complaints, though, that something's going on. I mean, iOS 9 is working beautifully for me, other than some battery issues I had earlier. But they seem to be resolved when I did a full restore of the phone.
It works
great for a lot of people. There are a lot of nice features to it, but there are a whole bunch of reports of things going wrong. To me, though, it just doesn't seem to be anything consistent enough to point to specific problems.
Now, hang on a second, though.
It's the case with the new iOS version.
Whatever .o is always broken.
You guys are a bunch of Apple apologists.
That's just normal.
Right, hang on a second. Can anyone hear what I'm saying? It's my show. Shut up. So, Muller, did you do beta?
No.
I didn't do beta. Who did beta?
I did.
Not me.
You didn't do beta? Okay, so
I did not.
So that's that.
That's not it.
That's that.
I'm rebooting the phone. Right, but I also did a full restore, so I don't know what the deal is.
That was my next question. I was going to say, did you do a restore or install on top? Because I almost never install on top. I use the updates as a reason to clean the phone.
That's it. So there you go. So I mean, I haven't got the issues that you've got, Adam, so I'm suggesting a reinstall would probably be the solution.
I'll give it a shot. But I mean, I haven't had it. I mean, again, this is a minor issue. It's on my mind, and I'm being cranky about it because it was really annoying this morning when I'm getting in a car and I'm yelling, "Hey Siri," and nothing's happening. You know.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm about to crash the car.
Mm. I, for example, have issues with Bluetooth. Weird things. I mean, in combination with HomeKit and even with my Apple Watch, that sometimes seems like the connection isn't there and I have to reboot the phone and then it works again. It's really weird. It seems to be Bluetooth related, but I don't know.
Yeah, at first I thought it was the whole thing was sluggy, but then as I look in App Store, the day that I thought my phone was going sluggy, like 48 apps decided to update at once. And then so what is happening is things is happening in the background, what apps updating, installing, and once they install, mm-hmm. if they're open, then they start, redoing whatever they need to do to readjust to whatever they need to readjust to. And it just bogs down the phone. But like Chuck said, literally on day 3, my phone was normal. But the first 2 days, it was just weird, but I just figured that's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. Because sluggy is a worm. What? Steve, what? Yes.
You've got to bear in mind that Steve hasn't got a delay here, so he's listening on the in studio loop. So.
Okay, I was like, I just heard that right in the middle of me. I heard a twang and then a sluggy as a worm.
That's not going to work with the chat room because all the chat room are going to see that and go, "What the hell's he on about?" And Doc hasn't even said it yet on the 30-second piece.
He's like my girlfriend. He tells me what I'm going to say before I'm going to say it, or he tells me what I said 9 months ago.
Very wise. So Tim, have you got anything else you want to gripe about, Adam?
No, still no buttons, though. I mean, I did a full reboot of the phone, and I still have no skip buttons on my podcast app.
I'm assuming the app's broken. As the ex-genius on the thing.
Well, and of course, then you have the convenient thing where that app is not an app. It's a freaking stupid Apple. I have to reinstall the entire operating system app.
So have you got any video as well for us, Adam? Tim Cook went on the Late Show with Colbert.
Can't we say anything we like about OS 9?
Oh, cool. Yeah, go on. Yeah, sure. I hadn't finished OS 9, really. I just wanted to let Adam get it off his chest.
Does anybody else use Siri, and is that working for you as well? So is this totally just me?
Siri works really well for me.
The Hey Siri works for you?
Yes. Yeah.
Hey Siri, call you in ranking.
All right. I will do a clean install and I will report back to you next week, even though I've already done one.
But it's not calling me.
It is.
I heard it.
No, it is.
No, because my phone would be ringing if you were calling me.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
I don't want to know jack about him. He's a freaking British pompous piece of
Oh!
All right.
But it did.
So you guys all love OS 9. Let's hear what's great about it.
It's fast.
Siri.
The news app is awesome.
Cool.
Right?
Rock. I don't have a phone number for Dot Rock.
But she tried.
But at least she's responding. I mean, I get the point, guys. The thing is I was in the car this morning and it would not activate for the life of me. And I thought about turning it off and retraining it. I'll try that again. But I'll do that after I clean install and I will report back next week. But right now I'm just irked.
There it is.
There you go. See?
We feel your
pain. I want to hear what Chuck likes about it though.
No, I've been using the beta for a long time. I'm actually on the 9.1 beta now, but I think that there are a lot of nice little touches added in there. Generally, I think it's way smoother for me than the previous version. I like things like you can now disconnect a Bluetooth device rather than turning the device off or having to click forget. So if you get to your device in the Bluetooth menu, you hit the I, and now you have an option to disconnect it. That's something that I've been wanting for a long time. I also like when a link takes you to another app, up in the very top left corner, you get a clickable area that says back to Mail or back to Safari or whatever app it was that sent you to the new app. I think that's really convenient. Saves me a couple clicks. So things like that.
Yeah, the previous app thing is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Most of it has been speed. And my Bluetooth stuff is behaving better now. It was kind of a pain in the butt before, but it's doing okay now.
I've got a test because when I get home, I found I was routing through a box in the office and I found an iPad 3.
Ooh.
And I put it to 814 on that and or 841 on that, and it works fine. So Muller says he's got a 3 and he's put 9 on that and it works fine. So I'm going to put 9 on that tonight and see if
you have just random iPads lying around that you forgot about.
Dude, you don't know half of it.
Just like that.
Must be a nice life.
What shall I do with this 3? Just prop the door open with it. I'm nearly Don McAllister. No, not quite. Never that bad. Anything else anyone likes or hates about 9? Because I haven't really played with it yet, but Steve said there's some cool features. What did you like?
I do like the new clean interface.
It does look, there's a font change, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a font change.
Yeah.
I haven't really played
San Francisco.
It does look nice.
Well, you know what I really love? The new Notes app. And now that I can finally talk about this, I've been playing with it for months now. New Notes app is amazing. Like, I love it. And for the most part, I had been doing everything in drafts only because it would allow me to get access, you know, from all of the devices at the same time, but with Notes, and now it has the ability to do lists. And, you know, there's a couple of apps I can sort of delete right away because they promised to do all these things, but they did what they said they did. Like, you know, lists, what was it? I want to call it not Listicle. That's BuzzFeed. There was this one app that I was using for lists for the longest time. I ended up just like, I would forget to use it. So I would put the list in Notes or drafts anyway. So it's pretty amazing. Like, I really like that feature. I like the fact that it's a little bit more, what's the word I want to call it, rich text. So if you want to get in there and mark things up really well, you can. You can draw directly in it. If you'd like to make little sketches, like for the bathroom, like I need to figure out where I'm going to put my ceiling fans in the bathroom. You can kind of sketch that out real quick. That kind of stuff.
Booker in the chat room says maybe someone should go through my sofa cushions. And Mother says, why not use it as a tea tray?
I also like the notification thing. Something most people ignore, and I have ignored for a long time, but the new version is actually useful. Especially since you can also see the charge of your iPhone and your Apple Watch on there now, so it's really great.
Yep. I'll throw out Siri suggestions too.
Go
ahead, Doc.
Right, the search is amazing now too. Yeah. It starts to tell you your suggested apps, and when I'm outside and I pulled down the hold the home button for a second so it drops down, and then the search thing pops up, and it's like nearby you, coffee, food, bars, or stores. And I press bars, and it's like, oh, look, there's all these bars nearby here. So, like, it's kind of cool. Like, it gives you information without really knowing that you're about to ask it that.
Right. Hmm.
Some of the predictive stuff is really nice, I will admit. One thing I really like is generally in the evening, I watch Netflix when I'm going to bed. And now the Netflix icon will always be on my home screen, you know, with the quick unlock, because it knows, hey, Adam's about to go to bed, probably going to watch Netflix. So, yep, little niceties like that, sure.
Sorry,
am I not sending video anymore?
No, you're not, mate. You haven't been sending video for a while.
Oh, sorry about that. I don't even have the video button. What the hell is going on? It's Skype.
It's a technology conspiracy against you.
Yeah. Oh, now he's in. There he is.
I'm telling you, Apple cut me off. They're like, the guy is not a fanboy anymore.
Yeah, it's the Apple police, mate. Absolutely. You'll be waking up in the morning, there'll be a knife at your throat, there'll be a threat, there'll be a dead horse next to you in the bed. Cook
it'll
goes
actually,
on with...
It'll actually be an Apple Cube.
Cook goes on with Colbert. Colbert has a rose gold 6S, so they're obviously pushing that. Interestingly, the first question Colbert asks is, so there's no new connector, right? I got to say, I thought that was rather an interesting quip from Colbert, because, I mean, to get Cook on, and I bet there was some, you will ask this question, you won't ask that question type stuff going on. And I just thought it was quite interesting that the comment that's made is, no new connectors.
I think he threatened to stab him in the neck with a fondue fork.
Yeah, I mean, are we a bit where, I think it's got to the stage now where the kind of, new connector, new device, new connector. And then the iPad Pro come out with that little three-way connector on the side, and you're kind of like, oh, come on.
Now,
I'm getting really weary of it. I'm getting really pissed off with it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
They only changed the connector once in 10 years.
And this is true.
No.
Yeah, you're talking about the USB.
No, but it's not.
And all that, right?
Yeah.
No, we're talking about the iPhone. There's only been one change.
You've gone all silently, dude, so.
Oh, crap. What the
no,
hell
you're
is
right
going
now.
On?
You're all right now. It's the general stuff of like, okay, I know that the 30-pin went to the Lightning connector, and okay, I'm fine with the Lightning. I actually love the Lightning connector. I think it was a positive move, and it's the first change in 10 years. But it's just like, you know, the MagSafe connector changed twice. The Lightning's in, bought new adapters for everything. FireWire disappears. The kind of fudging around with ports is and connectors is just generally pissing me off. I want it to go away. And the thing that annoys me now is I bought a CalDigit thing. There's nothing comes out because of Apple. It's all Apple's fault. Because of Apple, there is nothing that takes for FireWire 800 anymore, and it just pisses me off. Because FireWire 800, I've got four drives that run off it. I've got a sound card that runs off it. I've got an entire desk up in my attic at home that won't work anymore thanks to an update. And I just there you go. I've had enough now. That's my rant.
So you're against progress, is what you're saying?
It's not progress. Yeah. Taking away functionality is not frigging progress, Latornis.
For a second, I thought you wanted to remove all connectors.
No, I don't want all the same connectors, and I don't want connector progress to stop. But what I'm saying is stop obsoleting stuff that doesn't need obsoleting. Because the other real problem that I've got, I love Thunderbolt, and I think Thunderbolt is a real leap forwards, and I really like the speed that it gives me. But there's too much of that is dead-end devices.
There's still not Thunderbolt to FireWire adapters?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. No, I've got that. But that takes one of my Thunderbolt ports away. And that makes it a dead end then. So you've got to sit and try to, in the morning, I come down here. I've got two, let me just show you here, look, right? So I've got on here two Thunderbolt, two Thunderbolt drives.
Yeah.
And in order to get those to work with me Thunderbolt monitor, which is here, I have to sit and work out each morning what to connect into where, because it has to daisy chain all the way through so that the CAL digit is the last one in the chain.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's got the firewire. But what it also means is, unless I get these drives out of the safe to use them, I can't actually connect to my audio card.
Yeah, so Apple brought back SCSI.
Yeah, it's the same thing. That's exactly right. You have to terminate your chain.
It just drives me mental. I can't be doing with it. And then the USB-C, and then the new connector on the iPad Pro, and it's just, I'm a bit fatigued. And I thought that was a classic comment from Colbert. I think that's, he's dead right. You know, there is a bit of connector fatigue around the Mac universe.
See, you took it that way because you're angry about it. I tell you how I took it.
Oh, go on, fanboy.
I took it that Apple's PR was trying to let all the people who ambiently listen to news and listen to things like this in passing, and they don't understand that nothing changed as far as the form factor. Everything's the same. All the insides are different or whatever, but the connector didn't change, because a lot of people assume now that when the phone changes, there must be some new connectors, or there's new this or there's new that, because mm-hmm. of guys like us that go and we're talking about one thing, they don't really have the idea. And I know the reason why I said that is because I've had about four people DM me on Facebook. It's like, am I going to need all new, you know, chargers? Am I going to need all new cases? Am I going to need all new whatevers? And I was like, no, all of that stuff's still going to work. And they're like, oh, well, somebody told me. I go, yeah, well, somebody told you wrong. You know, and it's and so I'm assuming, because to be honest, as much as we hate to admit it, Apple cares much more about the Sharons and the Karens of the world than they care about the Ewans and the Doc of the world, because we are a small portion to them. But the every other person, you know, the aunties and uncles on the street are their big customers. Their new customers are their new customers. And if you look at their emerging markets where they're doing the most work, these people aren't even coming from the computer. That iPhone and an iPad is their computer. So they don't care about all of that excess periphery. So whether we like it or not, we're going to the more common man use of computers. So all the stuff that we're used to as power users is slowly going away.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly
you
right.
You and got a new parallel port drive. That's Muller in the chat.
Yeah. I love parallel. I tell you what, I love the, you know, the one with the end clips, the LPT1 that you used to get on Daisy Wheel. Now, that connector never came out. Never.
I mean, we're not that far from wireless drives altogether. It's going to happen sooner or later.
Yes.
Yep.
Maybe in the next four or five years, but I mean, that's still soon by all turns of events. So all of this connecting things that we're sweating is kind of sort of possibly on its way out.
I mean, I'm getting so fed up with the fact of not having enough buses for Thunderbolt that I'm buying a Pro. So
what that proves,
we're
though?
We're also seeing a move
that
toward
proves
inductive
charging. You are an actual Pro. A lot of people who make these complaints, they're not even at that level. And they got one or two things they can't connect anymore. And, you know, again, the common computing person doesn't even own an external drive to back up their stuff. And all of us who support these people know that they don't even have an external drive. Some of them don't even have a USB drive. I'm sorry. I don't even know what to call these things now because everybody keeps changing the name from it. Most people don't even have USB thumb drives anymore. Because, like, well, I just throw all of that stuff in the cloud. So, again, the average person, they're not connecting anything to their computer other than a power cord. Like, they didn't even miss the missing Ethernet port.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fair enough. But, I mean, okay, fine. I'm not going to be shouted down no matter what. So I'll look down the line.
No, you know what I'm saying? I agree with you, and I do that. I get mad at BMW for stealing 20 horsepower from my car, and everybody else is like, what? The new one is great. I go, yeah, but it's 20 horsepower slower. They go, you're the only idiot that drives that fast. And I go, yeah, but it's 20 horsepower slower, and I'm mad. But, you know what I mean? That doesn't affect 99% of their market. Only the idiots who can drive down the street at 100 a clip and not worry about it.
What the hell are you doing driving at 100 miles an hour on an island?
My brother's a cop. I do what the frick I want.
And you never get stopped.
I get stopped all the time. I'm a black guy. What do you want?
But black guy in a BMW.
I swear to God, I get stopped constantly. And I go, hey, before you make that phone call here, and I just press speakerphone. My brother answers the phone, you know, this is Officer Bashman.
What do you do now?
And the look on their face when they hear that over the speaker is, damn, because that's just
that's
the rule.
That's corruption.
Yes, it's Hawaii.
That's like it works in a dictatorship.
True. It's Hawaii. Used to be a dictatorship.
Papa Doc of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Papa Doc.
That's how it works.
I like that.
I can get you out of a ticket. If you come on vacation, you get pulled over, call me.
There's only people of a certain age who are even going to know Papa Duck is, so.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, because it was a bit of a nightmare, to be fair.
And Baby Duck.
Baby Duck, yeah. Right, anything else there? I haven't seen them. The films, he mentioned the films as well, but there was another thing as well. 3D Touch. If I hang up hard enough, will someone actually get hit on the other side of the phone?
That was great.
Did you get to see the clip, Ewan, or are you only reading it from the
No, I'm only reading it from the thing because, of course, it's geolocated, so yeah. I can't watch it anyway. One thing they did say was that they were talking about Apple and the mapping and that kind of stuff, and there's two things have gone off. They've bought a mapping company. Well, three things gone off, and one of them's a BTN exclusive. There's three things gone off. They've bought a mapping company. They've been to the DMV to ask him about driverless vehicles in California and the laws relating to it, as well as. And also, Anders saw a plane flying over Bristol low that was doing some mapping, and my 2 and 2 = 5 said that was Apple doing an aerial survey, perhaps. But also,
flyover.
Yeah, flyover. Mm-hmm. Colbert was talking about the fact that what's happening with the car, and Tim Cook said, we look at lots and lots of things and then we decide which ones we want to put our energies into. So he's kind of scotching all of the rumors there around the stuff that comes up and goes, Apple have got a TV. Well, yeah, they probably did, but then they decided not to make it, kind of stuff that we all
if you saw how he said that, he was alluding to the fact that that is Apple PR's patent answer. He kind of slyly, like, and jokingly said that line because that's the stock Apple PR line about anything that's new.
But you buy an entire firm that deals with mapping and you go and talk to the DMV about driverless cars. And that's a bit more than kind of exploratory works, isn't it?
But again, so that, I think that was this sort of nod to, yes, we're doing this, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Right? Because PR says... because we don't tell you, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
We all know what's going on.
Go on, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, we don't know whether it's going to be an actual car or things that are going to go into other manufacturers' cars too. I think it's much more likely that they're going to wind up with a partnership with a very high-end car manufacturer than they're going to have a plant that pumps out their own cars like Tesla.
It depends. I think, Chuck, it depends on if they can find somebody to play. I think you're right. I think their preferred method to getting to market is to find a partner. But it has to be the right partner. And as they've shown many times before, they're not above when they can't find the right partner or it doesn't work out, going, screw it, we're going to do it ourselves.
There's an alternative option why Tim Cook is talking to the DMV. He just wants his driverless cars. He doesn't want what Apple would produce.
Oh, it's just for him.
For him one.
It's the Tim Cook driverless car.
Exactly.
It's got to blow up Tim Cook in it.
Exactly.
So we can get on the high occupancy lanes.
To car share, carpool. Right. I've got to say, actually, I saw a cool video this week. Have you seen James Corden's Late Show carpool karaoke?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's brilliant. If you just put James Corden carpool karaoke into YouTube, and there's one of him with Stevie Wonder that's brilliant, and then the others are pretty good as well, but the Stevie Wonder one's absolutely excellent.
You know why people are going to have a hard time finding that?
Go on.
Because when they type in karaoke, nothing's going to come up. It's karaoke, karaoke.
Like that.
In karate, empty hand, karaoke, empty orchestra. Thank you.
That's only about the third time you've done that on this show.
That's correct. And I would keep doing it until the whole world learns to say the damn word right.
Karaoke.
Thank you. I never figured out how it went up with
It's kara, like in karate. Yeah. Kara means from or empty.
Okay. Thanks, mate.
Sorry, I'm the resident Japanese major. I can't help it.
Like Apple's building a kara.
When Doc takes over, in Hawaii and it's a military state, then and there's executions daily. Then everyone will
say it correct.
In fact,
it's really funny because there's 77% Japanese population here, so everyone here says it correctly.
Murder won't get you.
That's gonna be driving 100 miles an hour from the execution sites to the karaoke bars.
Murder won't get you the death sentence. Saying karaoke the wrong way will get you executed.
Most definitely. Ask Patrice. It's been my pet peeve for like 5 years.
Yes.
iPad developer, Apple TV developer listed peoples. I have got their development units. Bastards.
I didn't get one. Super funny. Brett Terpstra was pissed because he didn't get one. Yeah. He couldn't get on the list. I was kind of laughing because I'm like, do they know who this guy is? He's the boss.
Now, can you talk me through the connectors on the left? Are they USB-C or are they Lightning?
USB-C. That's for diagnostics and to install data software.
Because the old one used
and
to
for
have
jailbreaking.
Mini, didn't it?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Or micro?
Micro.
Micro, the
smallest
USB.
One.
Smallest thing.
But that's just for connection for diagnostics and for jailbreaking, not for anything mm-hmm. else.
It won't be included in the shipping version of the Apple TV, as far as I know.
Right. Are you sure? The old one had a USB port for things like restoring.
The cable.
Well, okay. You didn't get a cable though in the old one, did you?
Yeah.
I suppose.
No. Oh, are they? Well, that might just be a developer kit thing, though.
Yeah,
it is. It
because
is.
For debugging, like if you're debugging iOS, like on your phone, you have to dock it into the computer.
Is there an Apple TV simulator for OS X?
To be honest,
I have not checked that.
That's a good question. Actually.
I would say yes, because that. I mean, Apple has asked the developers who didn't get the kit to still develop for it, and I mean that requires some sort of simulator.
Yeah. Just fellas, I know we haven't sent you one, but just guess, I.
That's the email I got.
Yeah, I just updated Xcode. Let me open it real
fast. While you're having a look, one of the other stories this week is that someone has tested, and they say that if you have a screen protector on your iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, it won't stop 3D touch features working, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I mean, because of how the 3D touch technology works. Mm-hmm. You might have to press slightly harder depending upon what kind of screen protector you have. Like if you have one of those, glass ones, because it detects micro flexes in the actual glass itself. So the sensors are embedded. It's the distance between the backlight and the actual front glass that's being measured.
But wouldn't a laminate surface on the top cause less deflection or a wider deflection that might inhibit accuracy?
Exactly, yeah. So I think it depends on how much deflection it takes to detect that. And I mean, the way Apple's described it, it's like micro. Mm. Yeah, so
So it might just be you have to press a little bit harder. And that's
slightly harder. Yeah, I would imagine, especially if you have one of the, what do they call that glass that's treated?
Tempered?
Tempered, thank you. One of those, so they do make some like tempered glass, you know, things that I would imagine add some thickness. So I wouldn't imagine it would stop the whole technology from working because it's probably measuring relative distance in terms of, you know, how much was flex as opposed to, you know, like an actual measurement, like it flexed A or B. I don't know. I'm purely guessing, but it would make sense to me that a screen protector would not inhibit that. And you would think Apple would have wanted to have tested that as well, because they know many people use screen protectors and they even sell them in their own retail stores.
The same way they would have tested the missing podcast button.
You're the thunk.
Sorry, Adam. Too late. I'm too early for that joke. I'm sorry.
That's good.
Phil C in the chat room says that he thinks that the remote on the Apple TV was bigger than he thought it was going to be. I don't know.
We saw that you can hold it in your hand, and for that, in both hands. So for that, it needs to be a certain size.
Is the puck
for the touchscreen to work? It needs to be a minimum size too. I would think in order to be practical. Yeah.
So the puck is deeper, isn't it? But it's the same surface area, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
So
it's almost half an inch taller. It's like 0.4 inches.
So I wouldn't have said that's an awful lot longer than an existing remote. It's just a lot wider.
Hmm.
Which is good.
Use
that damn thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you can always stick it to the back of your remote, as Mr. Anatko suggested, can't you, with a double-sided Velcro.
The one thing that I'm kind of, that I thought they could have done, and maybe they don't want to ruin the front aesthetic, and I kind of get this, but it would have been cool if the top had a little lightning dock in it, so that when you did, you know, I know it's only every 3 months you have to charge it, but you could just dock it right on top of the little puck, and then it's always kind of there. So in and it's always charged.
So in actual fact, one of those then is possibly a lightning plug for charging the black one.
Oh, it's definitely a lightning plug on the bottom. Yeah. That's how you charge it.
No, no, no. So the leads that you like in the developer kit there, you've got one that's USB-C, you reckon, and the other one would be lightning then for charging, and you would probably get the second one.
Yeah, I think the white one is your lightning for charging.
It'd be interesting. Do you have a USB out on the TV where you can plug in the remote to charge, or have you got to plug? You've got to find an adapter to plug that into then.
You have to find an adapter. There's no port. I mean, basically, the only thing that has changed from a port perspective is USB-C, and they've removed the optical out.
Right. Phil's saying. So is the trackpad on the remote at the bottom? And I thought it was on the top, I have to say.
It's on the top.
On the top.
Yeah, I thought it was on the top. So there you go.
We have opposable thumbs, but not reversible thumbs.
Yeah, Lee McCartney's just chimed in and says that the keynote showed it at the top. Yep. So that should be it. OS 2 for the watch has been delayed. Watch OS 2 is taking an expected hit on a bit longer to release because they found a bug that they can't manage to deal with as quickly as they thought. Now, that's an interesting one because I've had a little hunt and I can't find out what the bug is. Does anyone know? It's
apparently, James Thompson, the developer of pCalc, found it, and it has to do with fair play.
Oh, right.
Ah.
So if you go to his Twitter feed, you can get more information on there. But he encountered a late bug, reported it to Apple, and that's apparently what delayed the release. Mm-hmm.
That affect music and apps and those sorts of things, right?
Right. Yep.
Music, primarily music.
So this is DRM based.
Yeah.
Well, fair play.
I think fair play
is DRM.
Is their DRM thing. I mean, it's also used for apps, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I haven't noticed any issues with the app. So, I mean, I'm using the 2 beta right now.
I was going to go look for it, but I'm pretty sure Dave Hamilton over at Mac Observer wrote up a description of what the bug is.
Okay, cool. And while we're on the subject of Dave Hamilton, he tweeted out this morning that he got his iPad 4. It's been broken down, and it's been confirmed that the battery is indeed smaller. And it's slightly lighter, and I haven't heard anything else. So has anyone had a go with one yet, or is it? Or anyone heard anything that's any gripes about it, or major goods, or?
The synopsis is it's basically an iPad Air 2 shrunk down.
Yep.
Right. So it's slightly narrower on the side then for the borders and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
For the bezel. That's interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, even internally, you know, in terms of the processor, in terms of what you can do with it, it's a mini iPad Air 2, so you can do the split screen, you can do all that good stuff.
I definitely got I don't know if I'm being fair here, but when I was watching the keynote and I saw them talking about it, the way that they were talking about the 4, I kind of got the impression that it was the kind of the final fling. That, you know, this is kind of it. We might do some processor upgrades and that kind of stuff, but don't expect any real changes in Mini from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that rough air or not?
You know, I think iPad in general is going to sort of fall in that category. Like, they've got the sizes and the platforms that they need. You've got Mini, you've got Air, and you've got Pro. You know, it's always that classic 3 tier that Apple has. Or always tries to have, you know, they don't always have it, but eventually they sort of fall in that realm, especially with mature products. And at this point, iPad's a pretty mature product. Mm-hmm. So you have good, better, best, or whatever you want to call it. You know, in this case, it's with the iPad, it's really about different users. So there's going to be people that prefer that mini size. There's going to be people that prefer that mid size, and then you're going to have your pros who want the big one. And they're really for different consumers. Yeah, I think at this point, you know, it's just iterative moving forward.
Yeah. I think that's also the reason why there are so many different versions on the market right now. I mean, you can get from 269 or 299 up to 1079.
Yeah, price points are another
price points big, in almost $100 increments. Same reason probably.
Mm.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah. I forgot my point. I wanted to make another one.
Oh, go on then.
No, I've forgotten it. Something said.
about the...
That kind of show. Go on, I'm you.
I was going to say something related to this. Tim Cook did come out. He was asked real briefly because he was in New York. He was asked by someone followed him to the Apple retail store, and I'm blanking. Sorry on the reporter. Oh. Huh?
It's that kind of show, isn't it? nothing really good's happened, so we forget everything.
Well,
that we're about
so
to
he
say
was and... specifically asked about, you know, is the iPad going to replace the Mac? You know, these sorts of questions, a lot of things that people are sort of asking about or wondering about. And in essence, he said he really does believe that there's going to be a whole bunch of consumers that don't use a traditional Mac, that they are going to use something like an iPad Pro, and that's just because that's how they prefer their computing experience to
be. I think
that's
already there.
But again, that there's always going to be Macs, and he even said, you know, people like me are always going to want a Mac or, you know, a notebook or a desktop, in essence. I'm sort of really paraphrasing here, but the general gist was exactly sort of how I feel about it too, is, you know, Apple's really moving into this car truck analogy where there's going to be a lot more cars, meaning, you know, people using just iPads as their computing device because they're doing email and surfing the web and doing social media and things like that, maybe writing some things with office suites. But beyond that, you know, something like an iPad Pro is going to meet all of their needs. And then there's going to be the rest of us who still need the truck. You know, we still need to process big video files or do big 3D things or whatever it might be. But I think really this is, especially with the announcement of the iPad Pro, we're seeing the shift, and Apple really recognizes that, you know, moving forward, they're going to be selling a lot more iPads and iPhones, you know, from now on they are Macs, but the Mac's always going to be around to serve a specific segment of the market.
I remembered what I wanted to say. Adam, you said that the iPad is a mature product, and I think it has to a certain degree always been, because if you look at it, the real innovation from a hardware and sometimes even from a software perspective always came from the iPhone and then trickled up to the iPad. I mean, with a few rare exceptions here and there, but overall, it was always, okay, the iPhone gets it first, Siri, Touch ID, and so on, and the iPad gets it later, even Retina.
True. That's kind of true.
Yeah, except for this latest release, you know, where iPad is now getting things like split screen and some of its own, the picture-in-picture and some of its own features.
It's kind of developing its own DNA. I mean, it's sort of always been there, but I mean, developing in the people's minds. Like, it's always had its own DNA. It always had some shared DNA. It's kind of like when one of the siblings figures out their individuality from the family, so to speak. And I guess that lends to Patrice's point. Up until now, it's that famous person's sister, right? So, like, Emily Deschanel versus Zoe. Like, everybody knows Emily for years. And then Zoe was just like, oh, it's Emily's sister. And then, like, 2 years ago, Zoe became Zoe, and now it's the other way around. I think the iPad is sort of getting out from the shadow of the iPhone. And like Adam just said, this release will be the release that allows us to be its own identifying product. They will just happen to share a same OS, and even that might not last for that long. It might start to adopt the more efficient OS of the desktop, which we've been talking about, this convergence for a while, in which case the phone might not be able to carry that over as well. And it'll take the phone longer, and all of a sudden, Emily is the no longer important Deschanel.
I think the differentiation is really important, and it's really going to be helpful going forward. And I think part of it needed to wait until we saw what the developers and the users were going to use these different devices for or aspire to use them for. And I think it's going to help also help consumers decide, do I need that iPad Pro or do I need that MacBook Air? Because they're going to do different things, and they're going to do more different things over time. I think the differences are going to be more pronounced over time, and that's going to help people decide what's right for them, or in Apple's, you know, greatest dreams, no, I need both of them now.
Apple has also for quite a while pushed the developers to basically develop just one app for both platforms. And I hope that I always thought that's a bit odd choice, because you can do so much more with an iPad. And from a developer, from an architectural perspective, it doesn't make sense to basically put two, maybe even very different things into one app. And I hope that's
that we're now getting to the point where we will really have pro apps that use the iPad.
Yeah, and that's 180 degrees from Microsoft's approach, right? Where they put full Windows 10 on the Surface, and their big definition of no compromises is that it's Windows, the real Windows everywhere. And to me, that's the definition of compromise, because then you can't take advantage of the strengths of each platform. So Apple's taking the complete opposite approach and saying we're going to build out the OS for the one that's right for each different platform.
But I mean, I've been ridiculed for saying this a few times, but I've always been surprised that Apple hasn't ventured into a touchscreen on a laptop, even as I'm sure they've made one, don't get me wrong, but I'm surprised that there isn't one available within the range as it currently stands, because the ability to, I certainly feel like I want to reach up and slide stuff left and right to get it off. And I had a go with an HP the other week in one of the stores down at the Westfield Mall at Stratford, and it was an HP computer that had like an overhead projection that came down onto your table, and the demo on it was great. You know, I want to make a postcard, and it said, okay, pick the postcard you want and throw it onto the desktop, and you just reached out, touched the screen and threw it down onto the desktop, and then bang, the projection appeared on the desktop. But then you could resize the image with your fingers on the desktop to get what you wanted. And then it'd say, okay, do you want to add a logo? And you'd screen through the logos and you'd flip left and right on the screen, and then you'd pick the logo you want and you'd throw it down to the desktop. And then you'd move it around and resize it. And it felt beautiful. It felt natural. It felt like the iPad had come of age, if you like. And I just can't get over the fact that Apple don't seem to have gone into some limited touch functionality within the screen. I know it's going to bump the price up on the laptops maybe a fraction, but you know, touchscreen devices are a lot cheaper. If you look at the Windows end, there's a lot of dual touch stuff that's out there. And Metro, I really always thought Metro was ahead of its time. I thought it was really good.
What's going to happen is Robert Rees.
Yeah, as someone who has used quite a few touchscreen displays, I am not so convinced that that is the right direction, because it always feels a little bit awkward that you have to raise your arms to do something on screen. What you explained, doing it on the table, I think that is the right approach, to replace the keyboard or whatever we have with a touch surface and use that basically, and maybe have there.
But it shouldn't be about display. It shouldn't be about direction. It should be about choices, Patrice. It should be about if you want to reach up and touch the screen to check something out. Like the classic one is to go through the screens. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of having a set screen whereby, because if you're using, the setup I've got here, my laptop's closed. So for me to actually go through a screen from spaces. For me to go through spaces is painful. It's impossible almost. So, you know, I'd love to be able to reach up, touch the screen and skim like that to go to the podcasting setup, to then skim back to go to my email setup, to then skim back to go to Photoshop setup. That would be significant.
You always have to raise your arms to do so, and I think you get tired a lot.
I'm not saying that you have to raise your arms. I'm saying you should have a choice to raise your arms.
I think that's the definition of compromise, though. You know, the desktop OS is not optimized for touch interface. There are different things going on there that make it clunky, that make it a hack. And unless you're going to revamp the desktop OS to accommodate all those things, and then you wind up with an iOS situation. So why do it? To me, I think where Apple's driven that is the Magic Trackpad, or the trackpads on the laptop have a lot of that gesture.
I hate that.
Oh, I use them all the time. I never
want to have a mouse back. I always use trackpads.
Yeah. Sam, I'm trackpad all the way. But look, so let me point something out. This is a conversation I have about Apple over and over and over again, because I am the translator to neophytes, and they go, Apple has all the money in the world and all the technology in the world, and why don't they do X? Well, Apple has this thing, good, bad, or indifferent, like it or not, your opinions may vary. Apple will not put it out until it is fully cooked. No pun intended, yep. Timothy. They will not put it out at all until it is fully cooked. So right now, like Chuck mentioned, like Patrice mentioned, and Adam too, there's this, like, right now, I guess they feel in their heart of hearts that this will be some compromise. It's not fully ready for TouchOS. So just because everyone else is doing it don't mean we should. We should do it when we can get it right. I have watched tons of people in the Best Buy stabbing at the screen, trying their damnedest to get something to work, and it doesn't work right. I've seen people in demonstrations on the news desk. If you watch the shows that are powered by Surface and some of the flip oriented computers, ABC Morning News is one. The one particular moderator, he's forever tapping like 8 times on the screen to try to get to the next story while he's talking, and it's not changing. And he looks over to the partner like, hurry up, save me. You talk about the one that's on your screen because I can't get to mine. And then they go out of order. You always know when it happens because the next graphic on screen is wrong.
Well, you've put a link in the chat room that talks about the mod book, which yeah, from what I understand, works really, really well. Muller, no, you said
years
bought,
ago, brother.
Yeah, I know. But hang on. Muller, you said you bought the yoga, the Lenovo yoga for your missus, and she loves it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's got that functionality of
play cards on it.
Yeah, skim and the application's right, and if the setup's right. I mean, I've got stuff here when I've finished, so show's all done. I can do Command S, Command Q, but it'd be great to reach up and look at the windows and touch a window and just skim it off the screen if I wanted to get rid of it or something like that, or moving stuff to one side. I've done a lot of moving around today with Photoshop with some pictures.
Yeah. And maybe that's the direction Apple is going with iOS. Maybe they just know it will take a few years to get the platform ready, get the OS ready for that kind of, and maybe the iPad Pro is the first real step in that direction.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. I mean, you do have Apple doing a touchscreen notebook, and it's called the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Yep.
Right. And you do know that this is going on. Like, what we're talking about is actually being skunk worked at the moment. But they're just not the type of people that's going to put it out until they feel it's fully cooked. Yeah. And no matter what happens, even when they feel it's fully cooked and we're all excited, they put it out and then everybody complains about what is missing. But even when you think you got it fully cooked, it takes a couple of years to get it to where it is actually fully cooked, and Apple just doesn't see a need to rush that.
Well, I think to come back on the point about iPad Pro, I don't think iPad Pro really is a desktop with a touchscreen. I think it's
their first step towards it, though, Ewan. I think it's how they get it out in the public, and they say, okay, you're familiar with iOS, and I think it's the right way to do it. It's a baby step in that direction, and now they can see what are consumers doing with this platform, who's using it, why are they using it, how are they using it. And then they can more further evaluate, like Doc's saying. I mean, they have touchscreen notebooks, I'm sure, and touchscreen iMacs in the labs. And they're just not fully baked yet, like Doc was saying.
No, I agree. That's fine. But I don't think that the current iPad Pro is really a step towards that. Because if you look at the third-party keyboards that have been out there I found my iPad 3 because it was stuck to a Bridge third-party keyboard I'd had for review. That's the functionality is no greater than that was. The pen is a different thing. That is taking it to another level. Maiko in the chat room says, I use a Surface 3. The pen is really the best feature, and Windows built-in handwriting recognition and OneNote drawings really work well. So there is a lot of good stuff out there on that.
Can I say one other thing on the iPad Pro, though, that I think, and the keyboard thing that I think is going to make a difference is, iOS 9 has brought all of your standard keyboard shortcuts and more of the common language from the desktop into the iPad as well. So I do still think it's a step in that direction.
Okay.
And it's also about the size of the device. I think it really matters if you're thinking about pro usage, about pro usage, then the size of the screen and size of the device really matters. I mean, there's a reason why we pros tend to buy the 15-inch. MacBooks.
Because we can't buy the 17.
And remember, Apple had that. Remember the patent for the convertible iMac that was sort of like the iMac. You could, when it was propped up upright, you used it with a mouse and keyboard, but you could grab the thing and sort of drop it down almost like a drafting desk to move it into a touchscreen mode.
Mm-hmm.
I think something like that could be brilliant.
The only thing as well with the iPad Pro that makes me worry is the fact that the keyboard that's part of the folding thing is when they first brought out the magnetic closing keyboard, they had the one with the magnets in with the separate metal hinge, and that worked beautifully. Yeah. That was the best cover that Apple have ever made, the very first one.
But
and
it wasn't very
every
durable.
Other one they've made since has been shit. And it's not just marginally shit or marginally worse. It's been like, wipe your ass. Shit. It's been like cut it into squares and hang it on the toilet wall. Shit. Yeah. And the first one had, and I don't hold that much hope for this, yeah. The iPad Pro keyboard. I think it's going to be absolute bollocks.
Yeah, but the nice thing is that they're already working with third-party manufacturers for other keyboards. I think Logitech already announced one that's going to work with the new connector, and there's a lot of potential there.
Do you know how bad that sounds, Chuck? Yeah, I agree it's going to be shit. So it's a good job they're already talking to other people to make a decent one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
brilliant. I don't know that Apple's version is going to suck. I'm just saying that there will be lots of things to choose from.
Yeah, they're allowing it to.
Your point about the smart cover, the first one, I think that is probably colored by time now, because I remember that my first smart cover was horrible. I mean, and I've seen quite a few of those. They would break apart, they would bend. I think Apple replaced mine 4 times, and I was very careful to not break it, and it still broke somewhere. So and it scratched my iPad and all of that. So it had quite a few issues.
Yeah, no, they annoyed me as well, because they moved the magnets as well from 2 to 3, and so your old cover didn't fit, and it was the only decent cover they'd ever made, and they still have ever made. All the rest have been absolutely abhorrent.
Yeah. So. For what reason? I've not had an issue with mine. Up until my most recent one where it did come, the metal magnetic part came.
Oh, here we go.
Delaminated.
There you go. Do that again, Patrice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened to mine.
It split. So I spent £40 on it and it happened to mine, but I'll just take it up the arse.
Yeah. But
it's just
mine split up for like 2 years, I think.
No, mine. I mean, the first one that I had, I've still got, and it still works, except the fact that they moved the bloody magnets on the next version, so just annoyed me. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They are absolutely stunning. We love them to bits. They've been our supporters now for 6 years, and if you want anything for the web, you can't beat UK2. Customer service is second to none. You've got domain names, any kind of web service, dedicated servers, VPS, VPN, co-location service, any of that kind of stuff, you can get through them. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account, or go straight there, and go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors if you want the offer codes that we've got for UK2. And you can get up to 20% off your basket, which is absolutely superb. Thanks ever so much for them to still support us and still stay with us, and they're going to stay with us for a lot longer. And we're with 100tb.com for the live streaming server, which is an affiliate company of UK2. And it absolutely is brilliant. And we've expanded our service. So if you're watching in Flash, you're getting the standard 2-second delay to the world as we previously had. But if you're watching in iOS, which you can do now if you hadn't heard that already, you can watch us on your iPhone, you can watch us on your iPad, you can watch us on a Windows phone or an Android phone just as well without putting Flash on. So check it out. Thanks to Anders UK, Anders UK on Twitter, who's the man who's got the software to do that for us on the server. If you're thinking and going, so it's 30-second delay, so obviously the server's not as good as it is. No, the server's brilliant, because the server is still doing the 2-second delay on Flash, and it's doing the iOS stuff at the same time, and the only reason there's a 30-second delay on the iOS stuff is because of the software that we've got on the server. It's not the server itself. So
that's just how HTML5 video works, actually. Now, a lot of people don't understand HTML5 video. They call it streaming, but it's progressive download. So it has to download and buffer a certain amount of data before it can start playing.
There you go. That's the reason. Yep. Superb. Time for the cool thing. Mr. Patrice, start us off. Or not. You're on mute, dude.
He might be on mute.
On mute.
Sorry.
Don't worry, I can edit.
Skype
mute for the ad.
I'm going to pick something that is relatively old and a little bit obvious. I'm going to pick Plex, simply because I have, up until I moved, I've never had any use for it. I have a NAS. I was using that to watch video and stuff. There was nothing. I mean, I didn't have a TV, but now that I've got a TV, I actually enjoy it pretty. It's awesome. I mean, it works well. It transcodes for your device, so if you're watching something on your iOS device, it can do that, and you can also download the stuff to your device. I mean, for a plane or something. It's just a really stable, good-looking platform that's available for almost everything.
It used to be horrific, and it used to stick to your system like a like herpes, didn't it? But the last 3 years, it's never been questioned. It's always been just brilliant.
I use it religiously every day. That's how we watch TV. Yeah.
And it's all free of charge.
Yeah. I'm going to try it again when their app comes out for Apple TV.
Yes, all right, cool. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, good pick. It's excellent. Really, really good. Adam, just want to say as well, put your links in the chat room for this. I know you have there, Patrice. But thanks again to Anders. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, you'll see a calendar pop-up. And what that is a record of all the chat that's gone on in our BTN chat room. So click on the date that the show was recorded, and you should see a full transcription of what went on in the chat room. And in there will be all the links to all of the stuff that we've done. If I haven't got them into the show notes fast enough for you. So britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Thank you, Anders, again. Mr. Mattcast, go ahead.
So I am actually going to pick something that I've had for a while. And I've gotten more into recently just for relaxing and kind of getting away from things like my frustration with iOS. And it is, and I can't believe I haven't picked this yet. It's Hearthstone. You guys, anybody here play Hearthstone?
All right.
Jerome plays Hearthstone. It drives me crazy.
So Hearthstone, if you're into like, if you ever played Magic the Gathering, collectible card games, it is that sort of thing. But I think much less difficult to get into. And it's from Blizzard, the folks who make, you know, World of Warcraft, and it uses the World of Warcraft, I think, characters and universe. I never got into World of Warcraft, so I don't fully understand all of that. But I was able to sort of pick this game up and play. And it's a card game, a trading card game, one-on-one, where you're sort of a character battling another character, and you cast spells and you bring out creatures and things like that, and you do a head-to-head battle. And it has a really good sort of tutorial system, so when you first download it, it sort of walks you through really the basics. It can get you up and running with the basics, but then, you know, from that point on, once you sort of understand the mechanics and how things work, you're somewhat on your own. So that can be a little bit difficult or frustrating when you first get going. But if you're at all into like collectible card games, things like that, it's worth taking a look at. And I'm really sort of enjoying it, although I'm grinding through right now. It does have a lot of in-app purchase, and the in-app purchases tend to be very expensive. You don't have to spend that stuff, but it will slow you down. So that's probably my biggest complaint about it, is a lot of people spend a lot of money to buy a lot of cards, but that's just like any other collectible card game. Like, people who spend a lot of money tend to do a little bit better. But they've added something recently, I guess, that's made it more fun for me, because I'm not a hardcore player. They have this mode called Brawl Mode, where each week they do kind of a different kind of mixed up set of rules. And a lot of times those are just decks that are already sort of built and they give you. So it sort of levels the playing field. So that's another nice thing about this game, is they tend to do a pretty good job of keeping it well balanced. I don't know, it's fun, and I haven't picked it yet, so I figured I'd pick it this time around.
Well done, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Chuck, what have you got for us, sir?
I have something that's lots of fun. I'm going to put it in the chat room there now. So networking is not a sexy subject, but it's an important one. Everybody pretty much has Wi-Fi in their homes now. It's getting much better. It's excellent. Helps you get all your devices on. But it's not always reliable. You wind up with dead spots in your house, or, you know, maybe if your router is at one end of the house, it can't reach the other, so you're not getting good throughput there. Maybe you still have some older devices that aren't wireless. Wiring your home can be a pain in the butt, but now, thankfully, you don't have to do it. TP-Link for a while now has developed a solution called Powerline. They came up with a brand new one that I'm going to show now, called the TP-Link AV1200 Powerline Starter Kit. So you get two of these in a box. You plug one of these into your outlet. It's got a nice pass-through outlet, so that you're not losing the ability to plug something in. Mm-hmm. At the bottom here, you plug something in from your router or your cable modem. And then anywhere else in your house, you plug this into an outlet, and now you have three Ethernet ports. The speed is up to 1200 megabits per second, depends on your wiring. But in my testing so far, it's worked really, really well. It's given me access to, give me the ability to add devices to parts of my house that I never could before. You get the sort of, you know, always on reliability of wired networking. So I like that for my Apple TV personally, so it's not trying to stream and buffer through Wi-Fi all the time. It runs for $99, but you can probably get it cheaper. I have not seen it on Amazon yet. I don't know if it's available there yet.
I just put it there. $80 on Amazon.
$80, thanks.
Nice.
So a couple cool technologies that really make it work better than previous versions. TP-Link, just in case you haven't heard of them, is a very big name in routers and networking. I own two of their wireless routers already. They're also the company that Google partnered with to create Google's OnHub router. So you know they know what they're doing. And this is just, so far in my testing, I've just loved it. It's a great solution.
That's awesome because I'm actually looking for something like that right now.
Well, it's not going to work for you, though, is it? Because it's US wiring.
No, you can.
Yeah, I think it's probably available
each country.
Is it regional? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had this on my list to put in my picks for about 5 different times, and I keep forgetting every time. But what's really cool is they have varying speeds, too. So instead of always having to buy the expensive one, if you have something that you know is not going to go over 500, you can buy the 500 megabits per second version. If it's something like just a fax machine or a printer, you can buy the 200 megabits per second version, and they all work together. So, you know, the 1200 is great because of video, like Chuck pointed out. You could actually run a 4K stream across it. But on some of the other ones, you might not need that power. You can save yourself some coin because, like, the cheaper one's like $22.
So, I mean, I wired my house for Ethernet ages ago. And I was just wondering, you know, because at the time I did it, there was sod all else, unless you just wanted to see what you could get off the router and that was it. But are we at that watershed moment now where you're saying, you know, actually it's probably not worth wiring the house for Ethernet anymore?
It depends on where you're at.
Well, if you're building a house, you have new construction, I'd wire it for Ethernet. I think that's great. Yeah. You're going to have real solid connections. But for older homes like mine, my house was built in the late 70s, well before Ethernet. It would be a colossal pain in the butt for me now to try to go and wire things throughout my house and drill through walls and floors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and this is just
drop dead
simple. I plug it in and I'm done.
Yeah.
Or if you're renting,
a good option.
You're really
convenient. I mean, wired Ethernet, like, you know, Cat 6E or whatever the current flavor is, always going to be better.
Right.
Yeah, so...
But this is better than Wi-Fi because I think I have the older 600 megabits per second versions, and my condo is solid concrete. Every single wall is solid concrete. So this has saved my bacon because before, you know, I could get no signal in the back room. So if I got kicked out of the room to go watch Apple TV, I was always watching my favorite show called Buffering.
I mean, really? Yeah. Realistically, watching a movie is 99% of what you're going to do at the highest end, isn't it, of most people.
At the high end, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so if you can watch a movie at 1080p without buffering being an issue, then really you are at that watershed moment of why put a wired line in.
It's about reliability, too. So I run into this a lot with people who they're like, I got an airport bridge, or I got, you know, an 802.11 AC bridge, and they're like, it works, but not quite all the time. You know, like those times when you get interference, like Doc's thing, you end up with buffering, and it's like, well, you know, dump that and get this power line stuff because your connection's going to be a lot more solid, and you're not going to run into those issues. Yeah, you could get by doing a Wi-Fi bridge thing, but you know, it's susceptible to all the Wi-Fi interference, and Wi-Fi is only getting more and more crowded. So I think anytime you can eliminate one of those, you know, connections, then you're going to be better off.
Yeah. Okay. Good one.
I've had exactly that issue, and I had to reorganize my home right now because I wasn't getting any stable enough connection for my TV, my Apple TV. Because, I mean, the router was here in the office and the TV and the Apple TV are in the opposite end. So I had to change that.
I think the other thing that I'd want it for is that I've got the Airport Extreme, and Wi-Fi on my laptop has been really painful for the last sort of 6 to 8 months. You know, even with the update in the last update to Yosemite, it still didn't fix the issues of it stalling on uploads and that kind of stuff. And I think I'd love to have a port next to me where I sit next to the TV I could plug into. And at the moment, the port that I put in is on the opposite side of the room. And the thought of running cable round by the door and round the back of the sofa and up behind me, not doing that. But I quite happily put one of these in the corner.
The one thing to mention about this power line stuff is you do need to be plugged right into the outlet. Don't make the mistake of plugging it into a like a power strip, something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
because any kind of line conditioning will mess up the signal.
But you can, but if
and
you've
that's
got
why
a relay,
I like this because that has the pass through outlet. So
exactly.
If you do need the power strip. You plug this into the outlet and then the power strip into this.
Yeah.
And I love that because my old Netgear one didn't have the stupid outlets, and it was always irritating because it was bulky, so it also covered the other port, and it was too heavy to hang from the bottom one; it would fall out. So you had to put it in the top so it pressed against the weight of the outlet, and I was like, "Well, there goes an outlet." So when a TP-Link is way better.
I will tell you, I cheated with mine one time and it worked fine. I didn't see any degradation in the signal quality. Is I just got a heavy duty, you know, like 3-prong little extension cable and plugged from the outlet to the power line unit with the little extension cable.
Mm.
You know, it was just wiring. It wasn't actually any kind of filtering or power strip. It was just extra wire, basically.
Cool. Good one. Nice pick, mate. Nice pick. Doc, what have you got for us, sir?
Okay, so I posted in the chat earlier. I'll pop the link, the picture link again real quick, just in case you put it on the screen. So I've spent, I don't know, God knows, the last 4 days working on this. This is my grown-up people's Lego. I bought this pattern from a really cool site called MakeCNC, and they sell a metric crap ton of various things in CNC and laser patterns, but you know, if you don't happen to own a laser, you can totally cut it out of cardboard. So you take out Inkscape or Illustrator, you print it out, and you can take a razor blade and some cardboard and cut every one of these pieces. It will still work, depending on the thickness of the cardboard. And the pattern, if I remember correctly, cost me $10, and I spent about $40 on the MDF and about 3 hours on the laser, about 3 hours on the build. And tonight I will paint it with a new Force Awakens color scheme to get it all done. But I am loving this. It's so much fun. It was scary at times. I made a couple mistakes here and there, but it was a really neat project. And so if you have access to a CNC machine or a laser or a really sharp X-Acto knife and a bunch of cardboard or foam core, I would definitely say to head over to MakeCNC, check out some of the really, really cool patterns. They have really incredible stuff like the old British War Jeep. I totally forget what the name of it, but it was the original one made by Land Rover. You can, for instance, buy one of those for $6.45 and download the pattern and make it. If you have a scroll saw, you can do it with a scroll saw. But yeah, it's really cool. It was a lot of fun. I would definitely say doing it with a laser is probably cheating.
That's gorgeous.
If you guys follow my Instagram feed, I have been in full-on Star Wars mode because I actually saw it in the theater in 1977 as a 12-year-old. So,
so you're 12.
Maybe I was 11. Anyway, it was it's just something that I wanted to do, and it was fun.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that you might enjoy if you have access.
Nice work. Gorgeous.
Excellent, mate. I haven't got mine.
Kind of scared to paint it. I kind of like it.
It looks beautiful that way. I almost wouldn't.
Can you just like stain it?
Yeah, MDF doesn't hold stain very well. So the next one I will make out of solid wood. I just went the MDF route because it was a tad bit cheaper. And like now I'm getting orders. People like want to buy it. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to sell the thing at like $120 because the wood and the labor, it just took forever. But I might do it as puzzle. Mm-hmm. You know, because I really don't want to spend another 3 hours building it for somebody else. Because, you know, you got it when you hold the little fins on, like, say, coming out of the solar panels, you got to, like, glue it and hold it for, like, 2 minutes without being crooked. Can't really use clamps because it's going to get stuck to the material. So, like, that's why gluing it took so long. Like, maybe if I'd used super glue, I could have got it together.
You use, like, Gorilla glue?
I use Gorilla, yeah.
Yeah. $120.
There's the whole shipping and so on. So it's probably better to.
Say that again, Chuck. I said
$120 is way too cheap for that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I thought that's what you said. I caught a wallet hard on all of a sudden. It's about 14 inches tall, if you can tell by the quarter. Yep. The sucker is not small. And
I thought that was a dime.
That's a quarter, brother. That thing is huge. And I don't know, I posted on Instagram a little bit ago, if I find a link real quick. I started to do the Millennium Falcon, the AT-AT Walker. And about halfway through it, I realized when I scaled it for the wrong size wood. That sounds horrible. If you check the link I just posted, I scaled it for the wrong size wood. So I literally spent 2 hours cutting out all of the parts for the AT-AT, and I can't stick them together. No. So I'm going to have to sand off all the nubs and like glue it the hard way. Instead of right now, as you can tell on the TIE Fighter one, the nubs kind of help hold it together. I'm going to have to fix this one and glue the hardware, or just waste about $60 worth of wood. Start again. But I will get the AT-AT Walker done, and I will present it to you guys.
Nice.
Excellent. My cool thing is, it's a very tenuous link to Apple, I have to say, because I'm struggling for something this week. I haven't really bought much for yet. Mine is this thing. It is the iSolem HW101S battery motion sensor light. Okay. Now, when we finished working here in the day and we want to go home, we don't take everything with us. We've got some safes in a cupboard that are attached to the wall that are really quite sturdy. And all the drives and all the laptops and all that kind of stuff and all the cameras go into those two safes and they're locked up. But the problem is that the cupboard that they're in has got no power supply. And we found these. And they're brilliant. They're motion activated. So you walk in the cupboard, wave your hand up, and the thing comes on. It's only got two LEDs in it. It takes four D-cell batteries. So it looks like it's a bit hungry, but actually it lasts for ages. I reckon that you'll probably get about 3 to 4 months out of those batteries of almost near constant use. It's completely waterproof, so you can hang it outside. And the other thing that's kind of cool is the light off it is really, really good. So if you were doing some little filming outside with your iPhone or something like that, you could carry it around, stick it down, wave your hand, and you get 20 seconds of illumination just while you take your pictures.
Is it white light?
It is white. It is pure white light. It's not yellowed.
Okay.
And it's absolutely gorgeous.
Not IR?
No.
That's cool. What the name is again? I can't think.
It's the iSolem HW101S. It's on Amazon. And you can't get Prime on it, though. That's anything. So.
They don't have to make an IR version, do they?
I don't know.
But, for like night vision, you know, cameras? Like security cameras?
They might. I'll have a look around. I don't see any parallel choices on Amazon that cover it. But
sorry, I'm asking. I have a side project I'm working on, and I need a good IR light.
Well, the thing is, you know, Adam, for working in the cupboard there, if you wave your hand, if you move, it comes instantly on. No, so like I'm in the cupboard, and you know, like normally, if we're putting stuff away and it takes me longer than 20 seconds, the light goes out, but I don't have to hold my hand up and wave it to get it to come back on. It just knows that I'm there, and it pops back on almost instantly. So in the cupboard, you'd have it go on and off quite regularly, unfortunately for you, but it would give you instant light in the places here and there that would be fine. I'm thinking of getting another one and putting it down in the hallway for when I leave the place at night. So if anyone walks past it, it flicks on and makes it look like someone's in. So it's really good.
Not free, no price.
It's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's only 15 quid, 16 quid. So there you go. And they work. They're brilliant. They're absolutely superb. We've put two in one in the cupboard, but you can't have two of them on because once one's on, it's so bright in there that the other one won't come on because they're daylight sensitive. So it's brilliant.
That is awesome. I have these way old ones from the Costco here, and they're not anywhere near as cool as this. I did like the fact that the edges were rotating, but no, this looks way better. I'm going to get rid of these bad boys.
These are good. Like I say, they take big batteries, but I think they'll probably last you many, many months of constant use. They're really good. Sorry, it's not really an Apple product, but there you go. I just thought you'd like it. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
You can find me on Twitter at casual_kitchen. You can find my random writing at thepatrice.com. And I'm also on the British Tech Network, on the Tech Hangout, and on deconstruct.tv.
Excellent, mate. Mike O in the chat room has gone and found them, and they are on Prime if he wants them. Oh, dear Lord. Not good. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at maccast.com and maccast on Twitter, and also on the iOS show at theiosshow.com with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnson.
and reinstalling iOS 9.
It's almost done. Actually, it's done. It's just restoring backup now.
Oh, so before we leave, hopefully we'll know whether your buttons have come back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, okay. Back to you in a second. Doc, where are you, sir?
I'm in the state of Hawaii. No, actually, you can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK and Doc Rock just about everywhere. And on the British network, tech network, since I learned to speak English, proper English, again, pretty much every week.
Future dictator of Hawaii.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And last but by no means least, Mr. Latournis, where are you?
You find me on Macworld, where I just wrote an article about some great iOS apps to take with you on your next road trip. You may have to dig a little bit. I think it's scrolled off the front page at this point. Also, occasionally on the Mac Observer. My own stuff is at randomaccess.com, two M's, two C's, two S's, and of course, Twitter at Chuck Latournis, as long as you can spell it. And I need you to make me a promise, though, because we didn't talk about my favorite iOS 9 feature, but we don't have time to get into it, because it's going to be a big one, I think, and that's content blockers.
Yeah, apparently the top paid applications in the US store at the moment are all content blockers.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
and for lots of reasons that we can really dive into, I think.
Well, okay. You should have said, mate, we could have covered that instead of talking rubbish.
I didn't think about it too late.
About podcast app not working. Adam, has it worked?
Yeah. No, because I got to plug in my iCloud password, and of course I don't have one password because it just restarted, so I actually have to hand type it in.
Okay, so listen to this week's pinch, and we'll, at the end of that, you'll find out whether they are or not. my name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back next week with the Mac Show as normal on Friday. Big Show on Thursday. Pocket Show's making a return soon as well. That's on a Monday at 8 o'clock. And this week, it's the Gamer Show on Monday at 8 o'clock. You can watch live on iOS and all your other devices. Thanks. HTML5 is now working. Oh. Out of beta, I would say. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
Okay, quick. Peace or crystal?
Well, I'm using crystal so far because it's free.
I was going to just do peace because, you know.